Look, if you had one shot to sit on your lazy butt and watch all the TV you ever wanted until your brain turned to mush, would you go for it or just let it slip?
Yo. Remote is ready, eyes wide, palms are sweaty. The Flintstones on the TV already, Wilma and Betty. No virgin, the channel surfing, and I'm HD ready. So I flip, garbage is all I'm getting. The Simon Cowell, who folks wanna disembowel. He opens his mouth, always says something foul. They're dying, wow, wannabes are crying now. He votes them out, time to throw in the towel. Shows based on reality, oh, the humanity, oh. Ozzy's family show loves profanity. Whoa, the insanity. Oh, dogs that crap and pee. Home of depravity. No, they live happily. Yo, plus the Ally G show and Celebrity Mole. Oh, and there's Anna Nicole. She's scaring me. Look, mono cavities. Oh, it's a station break. Better go out to the kitchen and microwave something.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, they told me, but I'm still tuning every show. My cable gets C-SPAN.
Hello and welcome to the Nostalgia Road Trip, where we take the short bus of life and crash it into that wormhole we call pop culture. This is the podcast, the only podcast running on the Super FX chip and loaded in blast processing. I'm your host, Edgar Velasco, and with me now is a man who considers to be the John Matrix of this podcast, Mr. Robert Menez. How are you, Chief?
Ooh, we're loaded in blast processing. Are we also loaded in vitamins and minerals?
No, not at all. I'm talking about John Matrix, a.k.a. the Commando, a.k.a. Mr. Schwarzenegger, Mr. like, the person that captures 80s stereotypical action all in one film. I'm talking about, in that film, is fucking Commando, and amongst many other 80s films that, you know, as growing up, we were able to, you know, catch, you know, some of it. Although, yes, you know, a good chunk, I know a good portion of, like, a bunch of R-rated movies that I watch were usually the television version, so they were, like, the edited version, where they get people who dub over the curse words, and the people who
are the original actors sometimes to try to dub them over.
Yeah.
And they never seem to have the same flow as the original words.
No, or if these actors, no, for the majority of time, these actors wouldn't even give two shits and don't give a bother. So the studio, so the, you know, the television stations hire, you know, like, people who
soundalikes.
Not, and the weird thing is, not even then, sometimes these soundalikes don't even sound like the celebrities. They just need someone to, you know, dub over the curse word or two. Like,
oh yeah, I remember one that I saw on that I saw on TV one time.
Yeah.
It was a movie called Something Wild. It had, what was it, Jeff Daniels. It had Ray Liotta in it. It had Melanie Griffin in it. And there was a scene where Ray Liotta's character was supposed to be, like, shit.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell it was not Ray Liotta saying the dubbed over. He goes, shoot. It just sounds like maybe, like, janitorial staff that was said, like, stand in the booth and just say shoot for me, please.
And the weird thing is, he doesn't.
Shoot.
It doesn't even sound like he said it in the same kind of voice or even the pitch of it. So he's like, yeah. So the character himself, the character himself is fucking, you know, like, angry and screaming, like, I can't give a shit. I don't even give a shoot. Like, really?
Because, like, in this case, like, the scene that it was used in was, like, Ray Liotta got stabbed in the stomach and he's, like, in shock.
Uh-huh.
And the original scene, he was supposed to go, like, shit, Charlie. Like, you know, kind of, like, dying, and he's, like, in shock, and he's like, shit, Charlie?
Yeah.
And the guy just goes, shoot, Charlie.
He's so relaxed and melancholy after getting that, you know, gut stab.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, shoot, Charlie. Like, he's, like, completely, like, drugged out or something. Like, he's just, like, standing there, and it's like, soon enough, he's gonna be like, oh, God, I'm coming down!
By the way, what kind of name is John Matrix? You know, like,
I have no idea what kind of name John Matrix is, but that's, like, the most 80s action character name I can imagine.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, it's bizarre when, you know, like, it's weird. This fucking Austrian actor, Austrian, like, fucking foreign as the fucking country he's from, and all his action movies, he plays this, like, he always has these weird American names that somehow don't fit that description. Or even then, names that aren't even real. What kind of name is John Matrix?
Nobody cares what kind of name John Matrix is. It just sounds cool. You know, like somebody can just proclaim on this on the schoolyard, "I'm John Matrix."
But even then, as a like a low level, like fucking common name, like no one even has like, because he's always Schwarzenegger is always given these weird American names, even though he's as Austrian as fuck. Yet his kids, his family, are as fucking American as apple pie. Yet he's like, "I'm your daddy. I am John Matrix." Like, what the fuck?
Like, oh, come on, he played a character on Predator named Dutch.
I know, and like, is there a first name or is that your last name? Is it or is Commando a precursor to Predator because he literally fucking it's the same dude almost.
Probably, but it's like, come on, look at another American action hero, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah,
he plays a character in Demolition Man named John Spartan.
No, exactly.
Like, his last name is Spartan.
And it's funny because all these action guy names like have all weird names that it's like they put two different like a name, a regular first name, and then they just whatever like a society, a way of life, a culture or something in the next piece of paper, they throw them into a hat like, okay, you're John, okay, last name Spartan.
I think they want to make like the most actiony sounding comic book names you can imagine.
Yeah, but like, let's take it out of that realm of action movies. Like, John Matrix goes out for his mail. All his mail are fucking, addressed to John Matrix. Like, wait, the postman himself, I'm gonna be like, wait, this person can't be real. This has to be some fake name. And of course, was it John Spartan for Stallone?
Mm-hmm. And Simon Phoenix for Wesley Snipes' character.
Simon Phoenix is all right, although it does sound like a fucking like a rival law firm in a Phoenix Wright game or some shit like that.
It sounds like the dude you hear in a fighting game. Like his entrance animation would be like he comes up from a little pile of ashes and he goes, "Ah!" He does like the bird squawk.
That, or again, it's a casino stage background.
The Simon Phoenix Casino.
Yeah, something like that. Or it sounds like a background character on fucking Back to the Future. But back to we discussed the rite of passage from a kid to an adult when we discussed, talked about we being the only ones who successfully, installed the VCR and playing it and recording and stuff like that. But, like, in terms of rite of passage when it comes to, like, watching your first rated R movie, mind you, a good chunk of, like, the rated R movies I grew up watching were, of course, the edited TV versions. So, like, ABC7, presentation of RoboCop. Oh, wow, I get to watch RoboCop. All the curse words are dubbed in.
You don't see the execution.
You don't see the execution of Alex Murphy. You see the end part. Like, when you see the like when they shoot at him, they give you a seizure warning because they just flash, like, a whole bunch of white light to replace the scenes. And then you see the final scene where he's just landing, facing the viewer.
Oh, yeah, you just see I actually saw one time, like, you don't even see, like, like the last one where, like, Boddicker gets up, he gets the pistol out, and he goes, "All right, playtime's over," and he's supposed to, like, execute him by shooting him in the head?
Yeah.
I see, like, you see him get up, you see him walk over, but you just see, like, immediately cut to the plop.
No. You see, for my version, you saw a white light, like, to show that he shot him. So, so you see a white light, and then you see the body falling. Another one would be like when I watched Predator on Fox 5 when they aired it on the weekend afternoons. Again, all these movies were always aired either on weekday evenings or weekday afternoons, when there was nothing really on TV. And I saw Predator on Fox 5 and like, okay, all right, you're not going to show the skin bodies. Okay. But you suggest it. It's almost like an episode of Johnny Quest where all the violence is done off camera, but you already know, like, in your mind, you're like, yeah, oh, okay.
What's going on?
Exactly. And one scene where what's his name? Not Dutch, the fucking, the black dude, sorry.
Apollo Creed. Carl Weathers character.
Carl Weathers, there we go. Fucking Carl, why did I forget the name? Carl Weathers is fucking shooting up the jungle because he doesn't know, he's going ape shit crazy. And, in the original scene, the Predator shoots his arm off, and while it's still shooting, whatever. before he's killed. And like in the TV version, you see the beam of light coming from the jungles and shooting him in the arm. But you don't get to see the end result of it. You just see Carl Weathers going, and then you see it like a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing. Like you see the arm falling, but again, it's blink and you'll miss it. And then they zoom in on him, so you get to see a small little clip of, you know, him missing an arm. But it's done so quickly, and it's zoomed.
Yeah, you don't actually see, like, the bloody stump or nothing like that.
No, but, yeah, it zoomed in, but close enough so you can kind of already put a picture in your head, oh, he shot his arm off.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, they try to zoom in so you don't see the bloody stump, but they're like, yeah, you can still tell this guy's writhing in pain. He obviously lost his arm.
Yeah. Similar deal, again, Fox 5. When I saw the Fox 5 version of Ghoulies 2, and there's a scene where the clown is, you know, in the dunk tank. He's telling, oh, come on, you suck, you know, everything. And and when he falls in, you know, the ghoulie bites his arm off and he's like clutching at the stump, screaming, ah. But in the Fox 5 version, he comes out of the water. But get this, the scene is slowed down and zoomed in so much that you got, it's zoomed in so much, similar to the Predator, where you can see, like, if you blink and you'll miss it, you'll see that, oh, he's missing his arm. But since it's so, you know, awkwardly zoomed in, you're like, what just happened? Why is this in slow motion? But of course, when you watch, you know, the original, you know, version on, you know, whether it's playing on Showtime or Cinemax or even HBO, you're like, oh, he bit his foot. Although, yeah, you can kind of tell, you know, from the cut, but the fact that it's zoomed in, although nothing, and I mean nothing, will beat the ABC edited version of Mallrats. Holy shit, that's beyond hilarity.
I know, they take almost everything out.
Again, it's a movie that was so heavy in cursing, you know, suggestive jokes and all that, and it's like the scene where they meet the fortune teller with the three nipples, and like in the original version was like they zoom so much in to the point that like, wait, in the joke, like, wait, she had three nipples, like it actually fits in because you never get to see it, you know, only, you know, Scott Lee and the dude from Party of Five see it, and it's like, but it's so zoomed in, it's like almost awkwardly like, what's happening in this scene?
Exactly. You know, like, those are the kinds of things that are really funny to see. I remember, like, the first time I watched Spaceballs on Channel 11.
WPIX 11.
Yes. And I taped that. It was one of the first versions of Spaceballs that I watched was edited on TV.
Yeah.
And I taped it. And I kept the tape for a long time, even though I had bought the original movie on VHS soon afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
But I remember, like, all the scenes, like, I actually started doing, like, a compare and contrast where, like, the scene was like, how many assholes have we got on the ship anyway? And everybody stands up. Yo! And it was like, they cut out, like, all the times, like, they say assholes.
But how did they do that scene? They just replaced it with airhead or something like that?
No, they didn't.
Wait, they never...
When they said, like, you know, careful, you idiot, I said up her nose, not across it. And the guy just goes, sorry, sir, doing my best. It's like, who made that man a gunner? I did, sir. He's my cousin. They cut all the asshole scene out, and he just goes to him going, slamming his hand down and going, keep falling!
Wow, that's a weird, different edit. I would have thought they would have
They cut like 2 whole minutes out of the whole movie from doing that.
Also, like, the ain't fine, you know, like, how's it going with you guys? The ones with the weird, when they were combing the beach.
Yeah, the two space balls, we ain't found shit! No, they just cut to him going, like, you know, staring.
Yeah, because the joke itself would have been them using, what is it, an afro comb? So they left that joke just stay like that without the actual stinger.
Without the line.
Without the stinger.
Most of the times that they edited it on TV, the guy goes, we ain't found, and then you try to, like, you know, scramble it. So he goes, we ain't found, bleh.
They just go, bleh?
Yeah, like, they scramble it, and the guy just goes, we ain't found, bleh.
No, and again, like, sometimes the zinger of that joke is we ain't found shit. But, like, for me, it was, like, a lot of, like, ABC, NBC, whatever, edited versions. So you would see, like, It, like, you could still understand what the main synopsis and the storyline, like, the story still carries over, like, everything. But, you know, a lot of stuff had to be left for your mind's eye, your wondering, you know, mind's eye, to realize, okay, this is happening, this happened, this happened. But then, you know, sometimes, you know, your expectations are thrown to out the window the minute you finally get to watch, like, the complete, the actual, you know, unedited version.
Yeah,
but because my mom would let me watch R-rated movies. The only, you know, contract we had with that, like, the only way we could agree on is, like, you can watch R-rated movies. They can be violent, but no sex or no, you know, nudity. So, like, you know what? I can get, that's fine, you know, but there are those R-rated, you know, action movies that out of nowhere just suddenly throw tits at you. Like, what was this for?
Yeah, I was like, you weren't expecting that one.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting.
Watching Terminator, and like, all of a sudden, I was like, you know, the lovemaking scene, and I'm like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, like, although, yeah, I can understand in the context of the story, but then, like, what the, and, you know, but, you know, like, Tango and Cash, like, that's one of the movies, like, you can get away with on TV, because the boob scene was two people making out in a car, and then Tango and Cash fucking, I think, are racing against the crow. I forget. I haven't watched that movie in a while. And they, you know, back up into a car, and the people in the car pop out of nowhere, like, hey, what's going on? And, of course, you see nice tits. You know, similar to fucking the original Die Hard. Like,
yeah.
Like, that had nothing to do with anything. It's like just one of the patrons in the Nakatomi Plaza, one of those people, corporate people, were having sex. Like, oh, free tits.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, what I remember they used to do with Terminator was they used to darken that scene to the point where you couldn't make out anything.
Oh, no, for me, they just edited it in a lot of fade shots and a lot of close-ups. Like, you would see, like, of course, them hugging and kissing emotionally, and then it would cut to the slow-motion scene where their hands are clutching each other, and then that's it. But when you watch the original, I'm like, oh, shit, I see Linda Hamilton's titties.
But yeah, like, I remember, like, one, they darkened it to the point where you couldn't discern anything, and they left it like that. And yeah, there was another cut that I saw that was like that. Like, you saw them, like, you know, they get on the bed, but, like, you don't make out anything, and then you see, like, yeah, just their hands, and that's it.
Or sometimes they don't even bother, and they just blur out the boobs.
Like, they cut straight to the next scene.
Yeah, but they slowly hint at it. Like, let's say the character, you know, undresses themselves. They always show, like, the back shot. It's like some movies were filmed so they know, like, okay, this is where they're probably going to edit us when we get to TV. So let's do a back shot as well. So, like, if you watch a lot of 80s movies and stuff like that where the character undresses, you see the front, of course, you see the goods. And then there's that reaction where the naked person's, you know, his back, it's towards the viewer. So even though you kind of already saw the front, but I guess, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, we're going to be edited for television, so let's just include this back scene so they can just cut to that instead.
Mm-hmm. And, they cut that out, but they leave, like, most of the violence, and it's like, they just do close-ups so you don't see, like, all the blood and everything. Or they do, like, really quick shots so that, like, you don't see, like, the actual guys falling or none of the gun flashes or nothing. So
No. You know, no, it's usually gun flashes followed by a bigger, like a white flash of light.
So you don't really see much of anything.
So you pretty much, instead of that scene of the gun bursting through a guy's head, you see the flash, and then they cut to the, you know, the body falling from the balcony. It's always a fucking balcony, and in slow motion, and then that's it. Whereas, you know, the original version would show, like, the guy's eye blowing off, then falling off the fucking ledge or some shit.
And the Terminator also had another one, too, that they always used to cut out, too, which was, you know, Sarah Connor's famous, "You're terminated, fucker."
Oh, yeah, I got, oh, my God, watching that for the first time, you know, I'm like, it cuts so awkwardly because, you know, she's supposed to say, you're terminated, fucker, then crushes him, whatever.
With the hydraulic press.
Yeah, the version I saw, she just says, "You're terminated," and like, it's so awkwardly cut, like, really? You couldn't even, like, you know, do something where, they, you know, you're terminated, you freak, or "You're terminated, buddy," and, like, edit, you know, like, I can understand, fucker. And yeah, there are times where you can watch those edited, those dubbed versions, and their lips don't match the actual, you know, what they're saying. You know, like, fucking RoboCop, the first RoboCop one, you know, "You're gonna be a bad mother trucker" is always gonna be the top amongst my edited, you know.
That is always gonna be really funny.
You're a bad mother trucker. Do people even use the term bad mother trucker even in these current times?
Like, what the hell does mother trucker even mean?
You know, like, you know, but I guess they still needed to keep something, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, it was always fun when I actually was able to catch the unedited art version. You know, whenever, like, Cinemax or HBO would have, like, the free weekend. Like, here, you get to watch HBO movies for free this weekend as a reward for your...
Yeah, it's enticing to subscribe to cable.
Exactly. And they would always do that. So I'm like, hey, even cable companies still do that. Like, I just got... I think I had, like, HBO for free, like, this whole past, like, Christmas week. So, like, they still do that to try and entice people to get those channels. I'm surprised they still do. But, you know, even back then, they always had fucking Showtime, Cinemax... The movie channel, is the movie channel even exist anymore?
I don't know if it still exists anymore, to be honest with you. I think it does.
Didn't it become Starz?
The movie channel, or the movie channel got absorbed into somebody else, I think, but I don't remember.
Didn't the movie channel become Starz?
I think so, yeah. I think it did. Yeah. I think it absorbed, yeah, it got absorbed into somebody else and then it got turned into Starz, yeah.
It's funny but that. It's funny that they called it the movie channel, yet all the actual good movies were on HBO, Cinemax, Showtime. Like,
oh, yeah, back then. It's like the whole entire draw was like, you know, you get, you know, like the movies at home, like, you know, your own theater at home. You don't have to leave. That was like the whole thing. And then HBO's big draw, too, is that they ran them uncensored. They ran them complete.
Yeah. And, you know, what other place you can watch episodes of Dream On?
if you were into that show. But going back a little bit, though, when I was younger, we actually did have early cable service, and HBO was one of the channels. And I remember in those early days, like, you know, HBO would throw on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they throw on any movie that they could get their mitts on.
Here's the debut of Second Sight, starring Ronson Pinchot and Larry Derriquette.
Oh, God. They seriously did, like, anything like that, they would run. But anyway, I remember one of the early movies we watched on HBO, and I was very young when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was around 4 years old. One of the first early movies we watched on HBO was David Cronenberg's classic head-exploding movie, Scanners.
Yeah, and to this day, you will never live that down, aren't you?
I will never live that down, but you know what? That was my rite of passage. I was 4 years old, and I survived the head-exploding scene.
You know, for me, again, it was part of these weekend free offerings of Showtime and Cinemax and all that stuff. And that's when I discovered, like, watching, like, oh, so this is what happens at Predator 2 when he pulls that Jamaican's head off. Or, so Carl Weathers' arm, he just doesn't lose his arm. His arm apparently still strong enough to still fire a machine gun, even though it's, detached from his body. Like, you get to watch these versions. And then, you know, sometimes you do, like, wait, so this is what they edit out of this one. This was removed. This line was removed. You start, like, putting, like, the cogs in your head. That little mouse in the spinning wheel starts to, like, oh, so this is what they took out, and this is what they included. You know, we like, one of the things I mentioned is, like, sometimes they, like, for an example, would be, like, Superman, where they actually added new scenes. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, the theatrical cut versus, the TV cut, which had some footage that they shot but did not include in the theatrical cut.
Yeah, and again, one of the famous scenes was when Superman actually goes to Luthor's, you know, hideout. Like, the original version, he just shows up. And then the TV version, which eventually got released now on DVD, like...
He goes through obstacles.
He goes through obstacles, which actually make fucking sense. Why wouldn't Lex Luthor have some kind of, you know, trap set up for Superman when he gets there?
Yeah, machine guns, and he's just kind of looking at him like, yeah, okay. And then, what was it, the heat? He's just kind of like, eh. And then like, the freeze cannon?
It's a, it's like,
yeah,
he goes
into the refrigeration room.
He goes,
like, they try to encase him in ice, and he's just, like, beams his way out, he heat beams.
No, he bursts out. He just pops out of it and walks away. Like, that makes sense to, you know, that kind of makes sense. Like, why wouldn't the quote-unquote world's greatest criminal genius have plans just in case, you know, his arch rival decides to, you know, pay him a little visit? You know, you can't just throw Otis at him.
I think he's coming, Mr. Luthor. He has to back away from the door because he busts it down. Yeah. And then, like, you realize after a while, too, those obstacles were just to see, okay, this doesn't hurt him, this doesn't hurt him, this doesn't hurt him, but I got something that will hurt him. Kryptonite.
Exactly. It makes sense in the...
It sets the whole scene up.
And again, yeah, you kind of see the theatrical version. He just pops up. Oh, here's Kryptonite. Like, no. And then you watch that version. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Also find it funny that when it originally aired on TV, it was split into two films. Like, mm-hmm. like
oh, yeah, because it was so long. It was like over 3 hours long.
Yeah, with the added footage. Yeah, of course, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And
but yeah, I was like, it did make for a better film, and I'm glad they put it out on DVD and Blu-ray now.
Yeah, and then, like, fucking the 3+ hour version, like, holy shit.
Yeah, and then it was like, you realize, like, wow, the 3+ hour version's got some even better stuff in it, like, the assassin on Krypton that was going to go and kill Jor-El.
Yeah, but although I am curious to hopefully they one day release the Superman 4 movie that was supposedly, like, 3-4 hours that introduced...
Oh, yeah, they had all the work print stuff taken out. I had, like, 50 minutes of footage excised.
Yeah.
Like, the first Nuclear Man, I want to see that in, like, a cleaner form.
Yeah, that was comedically... And people... Here's the funny thing about the Superman 4 movie, the original cut. People said that they liked the original, like, 3-hour cut. They liked the introduction of the first Nuclear Man because then it would give Lex Luthor an incentive to try and perfect that, which makes a little sense. Yeah, it's a shitty...
First one came out kind of like a bizarro. He looked a little bit bizarro. He had, like, the distorted-looking face. He had, like, the stilted language.
Although
Superman was easily able to kick his ass. So what does Lex Luthor do? He takes the ashes with a strand of Superman's hair and he throws it with a nuclear bomb into the sun.
Although you know, re-editing the musical score would have been a little better because I believe during his scenes they use a little comedy music, which it's understandable, but it's funny to know that the original cut of that movie people enjoyed, and then Warner Brothers decided, oh, let's just remove it and make it an hour and a half rather than like a 3-hour film. I guess
that wasn't even Warner Brothers that did
it was Canon Films.
Canon and the production, what was it, the production studio, Globin and Globus or something like that?
Which is Canon Films, yes. Globin and Globin. Globin and Globin.
And I remember reading about it too because I remember the interviews that Christopher Reeve gave,
mm-hmm.
that they were just pinching pennies across the whole board because he said too, like, the United Nations scene, if that had been Richard Donner would have, like, closed off 42nd Street. He would have had everything coordinated. You would see Superman walking down the double yellow line straight to the UN building and they'd be like, everybody watching him in awe, they'd be like, that would be the perfect Superman scene.
Yeah, but what did they do? We'll just film outside of...
Park in the rain.
Yeah, like it's a fucking parking lot. Fucking Superman's going to the parking lot to collect his valet parking ticket.
Yeah, to go get his car.
Although,
like that's what it felt like. It didn't feel like Superman walking down the 42nd Street to the UN.
Yeah, it sounded like he was about to go just pick up his keys from valet parking.
The building that they used as the UN looked absolutely nothing like the UN because everybody in the friggin' world knows what the United Nations building looks like.
Which is kind of, but I wonder, does the extended version actually explain, you know, why the little kid ended up like bugging off, like fucking off in the middle of the rest of the film?
I have no idea. Because I don't even know if the work conversion did that.
Because even, like, I don't, like, that. I always wonder about Superman 3, like, the kid writes a letter to Superman, hey, you know.
Oh, was that Lana's son?
No, not Lana's son. The you remember because Superman 4.
Superman 4. Because you said 3 for a second. I'm sorry, I got confused.
Yeah, Superman 4. When the little kid who writes a letter to Superman saying, "Hey, can you stop fucking nuclear weapons?" Apparently, there is a deleted scene that has Superman explaining, like, "I really can't," like the kid. Talk, you know, it convinces Superman to, you know, help during the nuclear's arms race. Apparently, there's a deleted scene. After that, you know, after the whole Nuclear Man scenario where Superman, you know, talks to the kid and says, like, there's something, like, I really can't do this because, you know, I can only do so much. But it is a deleted scene. I don't think it was filmed, but it's supposed to, you know, bring back the kid and Superman explained to him, like, there's some things even I can't do. Which would have been a better, you know, a send-off to that kid's character because the minute Superman shows up and greets him outside the United Nations, a.k.a. the flea market parking lot, the kid doesn't appear throughout the rest of the film.
He's like a one-off.
He's like, so you show up for fucking 20 minutes and then you fuck off. Like, dude, it was your fucking letter that convinced Superman to fucking get into the fucking arms race.
I know, and it's like, they don't even explain that, and that's why, like, the penny-pinching came in. Like, well, you know... Anything they can do to just, like, cut corners here and there, they did it.
Again, you know, Canon Films were known for that. I mean, you do remember, the reason they even had a slight budget was because they slashed the budget on the fucking Masters of the Universe film, which is why the fucking Masters of the Universe film is a fucking fish-out-of-water storyline. Gee, how many fucking films do we have a fish-out-of-water storyline every fucking time?
Yeah, rather than make elaborate sets and all that shit, it's easier to just shoot in the real world half of it.
And that's... And and that story, that fucking, you know, that freaking way of storytelling still exists. I mean, the first two Smurf films with Neil Patrick Harris. Oh, instead of having the fucking movie in fucking, you know, Smurf Village and whatever medieval country it is, like fucking, oh, let's warp to New York. Oh, fucking!
Yeah, shoot it in New York. That's how they did it.
Yeah. Oh, fucking Fat Albert. Fucking Fat Albert. Oh, they come out of the television and are into the real world. Like, motherfucker, people would be more interested if you fucking just do it in their own universe. Like, what the fuck?
And then, like, the implementation of their own universe is that it's a real town anyway. It's supposed to take place in Philadelphia.
And what happens? Oh, let me come out of the TV and meet my creator. If I don't get back to TV world, we're going to be deleted. Like, wait, why don't you just have the entire movie... It's the worst way of storytelling ever. It's also the laziest, but also, again, the most cost, it doesn't eat up at cost. Yet, you're going to pay millions of dollars to these fucking celebrities to voice these cartoon characters that no one's going to tell. Okay, one of the main things, fucking Howard Long, whatever, what's his name, from fucking... voicing one of the chipmunks. Motherfucker, you're gonna be high pitched. No one's gonna tell you're a fucking actor in that damn voice.
Exactly.
Like, why do you have to just pay nobodies?
I don't know. Like, why couldn't they have animated these movies? I mean, it's like some worked really well and some didn't work really well.
Well, what do you think the newest Smurf film decided? You know what? Let's not put live action.
Yeah. Let's just fucking CG the whole thing. We'll put it in Smurf Village.
And you know what? For the better. I haven't yet to see it, but even on trailers, watching the trailer, I'm like, you know what? This is so much better already.
Yeah, because you know what? It actually works a little bit better. You know what? It's fully animated. It's in the Smurf Village. They're doing the Smurf things way better.
They're doing their Smurf things. Oh, Robert. but they're smurfing it up. And again, you know, during the free weekends of HBO, Cinemax, and whatever, you know, that's when we got to see some nice, you know, Skinemax after dark, because at that time, my mom was asleep in the other room, and like, and of course, we're kids full of sugar, we want to take advantage of what's on cable late night, and hey, guess what? Titties!
It was like, we're going to be very naughty. very naughty.
Grew up and discovered to be a man by watching fucking Bikini Car Wash.
Oh, God. But you know what, though? It was fun to at least have, like, all those R-rated movies right at our fingertips.
Yeah, but again, eventually, you know, again, with the contract me and my mother made, you know, watching, you know, violent movies is fine. As long as it didn't have sex or nudity, like, you know what? I can live with that. That's fine. But because to me, I'm the kind of guy, like, if it isn't really part of the story or doesn't even do anything with it, like, yeah, you're just throwing in free tits. Again, there's a lot of fucking slasher movies in the 80s. It just threw tits.
Like, how many of them? Like, all of them?
Yeah, all of them. But, like, for me, I'm like, no, I just want to watch The Killer. I want to watch The Killings.
I mean, like, yeah, we what was it that we watched? Like, you know, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. And it was like, right away, everyone's showing some skin.
Well, except for the weird thing is, for Friday the 13th, that was a given. You know, so much that they even made a joke about it in Jason X when he was in the hologram room and he saw...
Oh, yeah, if those counselors hadn't been doing the deed, Jason wouldn't have died.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but also, like, you know, in Nightmare on Elm Street, you don't really see that much nudity except for, like, the opening scene of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, The Dream Child, because, you know, she has to have sex to have the kid to be able to have the dream child. But, like, and maybe Part 3, Dream Warriors, when the mute kid is having a fantasy about the nurse, and then she's nude, and then in underwater. Again, some movies, for some things it works. For me, I'm like, can we, like Milhouse watching the episode of Poochie debuting. I'm like, when the hell are they going to get to the fireworks factory? For me, it's like, can I just skip to the sex and the nudity and just go straight to the killing, please?
I think everybody wanted that at one point or another. But there was, like, okay, like some other R-rated movies that were, it was always better, of course, and I know we always go back to this. When we get a little bit older and we know how to go to the video rental place and they're like, they don't card.
Oh, yeah, they don't card. Oh, no, like the neighborhood. No, Blockbuster. Here's the funny thing. Blockbuster would still card you in Hollywood videos. But the neighborhood mom and pop stores, they don't give a shit. They'll just, you know, if you're going by yourself, they'll just say, hey, you do know that this movie has blah, blah, blah. And all you have to do is, yeah, I know. Okay, that's fine. Go.
But, and they're like, alrighty then.
But the only time they bring down the law is if it, you and your mom are going to the video store, because that's when they have to kind of at least, you know, be, you know, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. They're going to be a little bit more impressionable. They're going to be like, no, your mom is here. You don't get to rent this.
Yeah, so they go on like, just to give you a heads up, this movie has blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. But when I'm not there, and it's always funny because they can always, like, let's say you get away with, you know, your mom's not there and you go to the video store yourself and you rent an R-rated movie. And then there's some boobs and your mom catches you and tells you to return it or sometimes goes with you. When you go by yourself to return the movie, they say, okay, understandable, and then exchange it for something that's less. And that's when they tell you, at least some of them were smart enough to tell you, okay, this movie has just this, this, and that. You can rent this one. But if you go with your mom, they act like, oh, well, I'm sorry, I wasn't aware it was this movie. Or they say, oh, I'm sorry, the other guy before me must have let you whatever rent it.
Oh, yeah, or the tapes got mixed up or something like that.
The weird thing is, that was the coolest ones ever when they say, oh, I'm sorry, the tape must have got mixed up. Here, I'll get you something else. Or, hey, I'll recommend something else. Mm-hmm. Which, that's always like, yeah, you and me, buddy. Thanks for saving my ass.
Yeah. I was like, that's always how they do it. It's like, because I had, like, you know, I had, like, a thing with, like, my local video rental shop. Like, they got to know me. They got to know my taste mm-hmm. pretty well.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, they didn't have to worry ever, and my mom was also pretty lenient about it, so I didn't have to worry about that either.
Uh-huh.
But it'd always be, like, you know, the relatives would try to, like, pressure her into saying, like, oh, he can't watch that, he can't exactly. watch that. Yeah, and then, like, she would say, like, oh, okay, I'll go with him if it'll make you happy. And then, like, the video rental guy would just be like, what the hell did he tell you again? Because they pretty much knew, like, my mom was lenient.
Yeah, and again, and sometimes they like, when your mom, along with you, comes to the video store returning a movie that, oh, this movie has violence, I don't allow him to rent this type, they usually say, oh, I'm sorry, the tape must have gotten, you know, switched, or the person who previously rented it must have put the wrong movie in. And eventually they ease the parents by saying, here, you can rent this, or hey, I'll recommend this. This is a pretty good movie. You know, so it's like, oh, okay, thanks. Because, you know, they cover your ass because they know where you're coming from.
Yeah. I'm just glad at least, like, my parents were kind of lenient about it. Thank God.
Well, no, my mom is super strict. Again, fucking, you were lucky. I was lucky enough to at least, you know, no sex and violence. Just, you can watch straight up action and violence, but no nudity or sex.
You got to get exposed to the action hero of the century.
Which, again, that's why John Matrix is my hero. But, and again,
it's everybody's hero.
On a side note, you know, thank you, neighborhood video store man, who saved our asses on situations where we might have gotten beat by our parents.
Yeah. Oh, and also thank you, local video store man, for also having some pretty weird, crazy movies that also expanded our little preteen palates.
Although they're also the same jackasses who put hentai in the cartoon section because, hey, it's cartoons. I don't care.
Yeah, so they're like, they don't give a shit. I was like, but you know what? That's awesome. That's still kind of awesome because, like, they're so badass that they would do such a thing.
Not
but
unless you're like, fucking caught by your parents, dumbass.
No. That's why I didn't wait. It waited until I was out of the house.
Oh, no, but if people want to contact you and probably berate you in accidentally renting La Blue Girl instead of renting fucking My Little Pony, the motion picture, how can they contact you?
Okay, find me on the Facebook group or find me on Twitter at Lambda Calculus. That's LambdaCalculus. Don't forget our official Twitter is @AndroTripCast, and our official website is NostalgiaRoadTrip.com.
Always a pleasure, double the pleasure, double the fun, gets much closer with Big Red and all that other shit. Thank you so much, and killing brain cells, going down by memory lane, and more importantly, just talking about how confusing the name John Matrix is.
Okay, but until next time, what else we... Well, that's all for now, I guess.
Till then, my friend, I'll see you next time.
Be kind. Rewind.
Don't copy that floppy.